The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix had it right. You know, looking at this campaign, the one that we're all watching with astonishment, I feel that if we went ahead 100 years from now to the year 3016, and we look back upon the year 2016 in America, someone could write that it was the cheeseheads versus the knockwurst heads, that one party wore a block of cheese on their heads, and the other party wore a knockwurst on their heads. That's about as much sense as I can make out of this. The corruption on both sides is equivalent. The people who represent both sides are about the equivalent. There is almost no difference in the corruption and the hypocrisy of either side, which is why a true independent such as myself, Michael Savage, is misunderstood and reviled by both sides and distrusted by both sides, because they don't own me. And by not owning me, they cannot control me. And by not controlling me, I am a threat to them. Now, the same goes for Donald Trump, because in all of my years in radio, I have never seen a candidate who is leading the primaries, every which way you look at it, he's leading, and yet he's attacked by both parties. He's attacked by the left. He's attacked by Republican shills. He's attacked by Jane Fonda and Republican shills. He's attacked by Jane Fonda and the Hollywood idiots, as you would expect. But then on the other side, you have the constitutional cronyism that you cannot believe this. The crony constitutionalists are ripping up to shreds at the National Review. How do you explain this? How do you explain this hatred for Donald Trump, this imperfect man? How do you explain it? Because he is an independent. And he's not either a cheesehead nor a knockwurst head. And so you have the traitors at the National Review, which is basically a GOP front magazine, as you well know, ripping him to shreds. Then you have the sad sack, Glenn Beck, the man who talked about his hemorrhoids and broke into tears on the air and worked his way up to the top of the heap. I mean, what does it tell you about the audience for conservatives? If Glenn Beck, who spent his entire career talking about his hemorrhoids and breaking down on the air, has become so prominent as a result of this, what does it tell you about that? That people like William Kristol, editor of the Weekly Standard, which I've affectionately entitled the Weekly Standard, you get the picture, W-E-A-K-L-Y, Standard for years, John Podhoretz, editor of the so-called great Jewish intellectual magazine Commentary. I'm sure they're all very smart people. They're so smart that they're shooting themselves in the foot. They're so smart that they're working for Hillary Clinton. And that's why I say to you, I'm not a cheesehead nor a knockwurst head. And so I want to go back a little bit before we go into the issue of corruption in both parties. And we'll talk about corruption in both parties, the Republicans as well as the Democrats, and why they now agree with Jane Fonda on that Trump must be stopped. And we will show you how deep the corruption runs in the Republican Party in particular. We know it runs deeply in the Clinton and the Obama administration. That's a given. We understand it. We see it every day. And you think the Republican Party is not corrupt? Well, I'll take you all the way back to Ronald Reagan's administration. And I will talk today about the WedTech scandal and the history of Edwin Meese, Ronald Reagan's attorney general, who was forced to resign because of corruption. And you will see that Edwin Meese had a deep role in that scandal, such as Meese's efforts to help Bechtel Corporation build an oil pipeline in Saddam Hussein's Iraq. And the point is not to dredge up old history, but to just show you that there's nothing new under the sun, and that both parties are corrupt, and that independents like myself are feared and hated because we're not part of the system. And they're panicking. They're panicking. That's the whole story in a nutshell. And I want to start way back when, not on Edwin Meese and his corruption. I want to go all the way back to something else. And that is the fact that I've said before, the hippie movement, many of you think that the hippie movement was all bad. The hippie movement destroyed America. You think that the hippie movement and the 60s is what ruined America. But I don't agree with that. See, my position is quite different. It wasn't the hippie movement that was so bad. It was when the communists took control of the hippie movement that the hippie movement was subverted. And that's a very important show today. Because I'm going to talk to all of you out there who are thinkers, who are independent, all of you who are free spirits, who may identify as independents or as progressives even, or even as liberals, but you find yourself listening to Michael Savage. Yesterday I had a caller, a woman from Berkeley, California, who said she's a lifetime Democrat who voted for Obama, and she listens to my show, and I asked her why. And she said because she wants the borders closed, and that's why she's going to vote for Trump. She just simply is tired of living in the third world. She knows the threat of ISIS. And as you know, I've been covering the rape of young girls by these maniacs in ISIS. Because the UN is doing nothing about these rapes, the genocide against Christians, they're doing nothing. All my life, I have remembered the opening line, or the credits for the movie and the book, For Whom the Bell Tolls. It's really simple, it's three lines. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. That was so beautiful. Was that, well, whoever wrote like this? Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. That's from Hemingway's great novel, For Whom the Bell Tolls. That's the meaning of that. We're all part of humanity. And now we have an Islamo-fascist movement that has no humanity. They've stepped outside of humanity. They're killing indiscriminately. Christians, yes. Yazidis, yes. And now Muslims. They're killing Muslims because they're not true enough for them. The Sunni madmen in ISIS are killing Shiite Muslims. They declare that they're apostates, if you can believe this. It's too complicated for the average person to even understand this. But it reminds me of what's going on inside the conservative movement. There are those in the conservative movement who say, anyone who doesn't agree 100% with me is an apostate. Therefore, out of the party you go. You're not a conservative, you're a communist. If they could, they would kill them. Same as the Sunni madmen in ISIS, fanatics. And so what it boils down to, in a nutshell, is fanaticism, it's what's killing America. It's not the polarization that's killing America. No, that's not the issue. They missed the point. They missed the mark, as usual. It's not that. It's the fanaticism. And it's Obama who has brought the fanaticism to the surface, isn't it? Why do I say it's Obama who has brought fanaticism to the surface? Because he's a fanatic. He's an extremist and a fanatic. He has been his whole life. But he is the best salesman the fanatics on the radical far left have ever found. He is so silk smooth at being a fanatic. He doesn't sound like a fanatic. He doesn't walk like a fanatic. He rarely talks like a fanatic. But a fanatic he is. His politics are extremely fanatical. They're extremely to the left of even the Democrat Party. And he has brought this polarization to the surface. And so we see the political system has melted down. The hatred is such that, as I say, people are excommunicated from the Democrat Party if they're not to the left enough. People are excommunicated from the Republican Party if they're not, to the middle enough. So I have to go back a little bit. It's going to take me a while. It's a snowy day on the East Coast, I guess. Not yet. Hasn't hit in New York. I love the snow anyway. I like it out here. I like it out there. People are home, sheltering at home. They're listening to the radio. They're waiting to hear the story about the snow falling. The grocery shelves are bare. The kids love it. Kids love snowstorms. Daddy's home. Mommy's home. They don't know that the father would rather be working because he's got to put bread on the table. Kids don't know any of that. They're innocent like our puppies. That's why we love our children. Isn't that why we love our children? Because you look in their eyes and you see how innocent they are. They don't understand anything about the real world. And we raise our children up from the time they come out of our wife's womb. And we see them as little innocent balls of protoplasm, hardly able to breathe on their own. And we care for them and we protect them with our lives. And we raise them and we try to make them as healthy as we can in mind and body and spirit. And then we send them off to the government schools, and they start coming home with ideas that are antithetical to everything we believe in. They're brainwashed by this evil, sick educational system. Then on top of it, you have Common Core, making them hate everything that's worth living for. And we wonder, how do we save our children from this evil, evil, creeping communism in the United States of America? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I ask the same question of the other side. How do we save ourselves from the evils of the crony constitutionalists on the other side? People who wrap themselves in the flag and are as dirty as those on the left. How do we do that? How do we deal with the National Review going out of their way to work for Hillary Clinton? And the reason that they want Hillary Clinton elected is because it will keep the money machine going. Thomas Sowell, Rich Lowry, John Fund, Brent Bozell, Glenn Beck, Edwin Meese. These are the conservative leaders trying to stop Trump. Dana Loesch, Michael Medved. They're good people. William Kristol, John Podhoretz, Mark Halperin, Andrew McCarthy, David McIntosh. These are some of the names you may recognize. Good people, I'm sure. But they're working for Hillary Clinton. Maybe they know this, maybe they don't know it. Why would they rather have Hillary Clinton elected than Donald Trump? It's real simple. Because Hillary Clinton is part of the same system they've been a part of their entire professional lives. And as long as there's an establishment Democrat in the White House, they'll have a job. They'll have a job pointing out and criticizing her. But they'll have their job. It's cut out. It's Democrat-Republican. It goes back to what I said at the beginning. It's cheeseheads versus the knockwurst heads. And as long as there's a cheesehead team of supporters and a knockwurst team of supporters sitting in the bleachers screaming, I'm a cheesehead! Yay, cheeseheads! And then the other side of the stadium, you got the knockwurst heads sitting there in the snow. I'm a knockwurst head! You cheeseheads are stupid! Democrat, Republican, cheesehead, knockwurst head. Look at it 100 years from now and take a look at how stupid this is. Take a look at how stupid this is while the world is being ravaged by a force not seen since Adolf Hitler. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. I guess when I'm talking about cheeseheads versus knockwurst heads, it's impossible for people to even follow me. Maybe 1% of the audience gets the analogy. They're so rigidly locked into Democrat, Republican that they can't follow me. But I'm going to go down my own road anyway. I've done it my whole life. It's worked for me, so I'll continue to work my own way. There's nothing else I can do. I cannot pander to what I perceive to be the talk radio audience. Because the day I start doing that, I may as well leave because there is no audience called a typical talk radio audience. What you hear when you have people call the radio doesn't even represent the audience. Do you know that? I learned this the first week of talk radio in 1994. Callers are not representative in most ways of the audience. Most people don't call talk radio. They listen. They want to hear what I have to say, not what callers have to say, first of all. And I'll tell you something else about talk radio. In the beginning, in the 90s, there used to be a lot of argument. Back and forth, back and forth. We don't get that anymore. We get I love you calls, and that's all we get. I don't understand why I take a caller if it's only about I love you. If you want to disagree with me, fine. If you want to curse me and run me down, I'm not going to take your call. It's a waste of your time, and it's bad, my time rather, and it's bad radio. But I want to go back to the issue of the cheeseheads versus the knockwurst heads that I was talking about. And I want to talk to you about those of you who understand what the show is about as an independent. Why I support Trump as an independent. He's an independent. So he's not conservative enough. Oh, they went crazy. They threw him, they want to throw him to the wolves, and they want Hillary Clinton to win. That's what it comes down to. Just look ahead. Look beyond your nose. Cruz can't be president. Period. End of story. He's unelectable. I've spoken to a lot of real smart people in very high places. They all say, and people in the media who understand these things, there's as much looks and presentation, but you need some intellect for this. You need some history for this. You got to look ahead. You got to get away from your own pockets. You got to get away from your own nest, which is being feathered. And you got to look ahead and say, in the general election, what will he look like to the average American? Unelectable. Unelectable. Conservatives in Hollywood have told me that, who deal with images. Unelectable. Trump is super electable. Okay, so that's what I'm trying to say to you. We're fighting for the our lives right now with ISIS. Trump will smash ISIS like a bug. Hillary will not. She'll continue what Obama's doing, which is placate them and compromise America. So I do want to go back again to the big issue of how we got here. And I want to go back to the fact that I said right at the beginning that the 60s were not all bad. It was not the 60s that ruined America. It was not the hippie movement that ruined America. It was when the communists took control of the hippie movement that the hippie movement was perverted, as it was. And then we go all the way back, and we see that it was not the hippies who ruined America. It was the communists who ruined the hippies who ruined America. And the very same communist virus that is destroying America today is the communist virus that penetrated the free spirits of that time. And the reason this happened, as I observed this today, is that a free spirit is more easily manipulated than a rigid spirit. Many people were too rigid to even become a hippie. Many people were too rigid to learn how to dance. Many people were too rigid to grow their hair. Many people were too rigid to see if there was something more in life than just going ahead as a little careerist. They never understood the bigger world, and they hated anybody who stepped out of the norm. The same thing today. And you have to understand that free spirits are not dangerous. They're not bad. Because it enabled millions of us, including many of my listeners, to become freer spirits. But the communists entered those spirits. Just as retroviruses infect humans, causing the common cold and AIDS, for example. And today we have a retrovirus in the White House named Barack Obama. He has infected the body politic with his hateful anti-American views, and invaded many other cells or people with his nation-destructive ideas. We'll talk about the retrovirus of communism, the retrovirus.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
The world is falling apart because of the New World Order universalists like Obama, Merkel, the United Nations, flooding the world with Muslims from countries, unvetted Muslims. The rape epidemic, no one even talks about it anymore in Germany. The German men stand up and they're attacked by the police. The same police in Germany who should be attacking the migrants and throwing them out of the country are attacking the nationalists in Germany who are trying to protect their women. Think about what I just said to you, because the very same dynamic is playing out in the United States of America. There are millions of men who would like to rise up in this country and protect this nation. We wake up that Obama frees an Al-Qaeda explosives expert from Gitmo. We know that Obama is basically acting like a rogue president. Shall I say a criminal president? How is this even possible? We know that Hillary and the email scandal had reached a critical mass a while ago. Anyone else would be indicted by now. Certainly a grand jury would have seen the evidence. And nothing happens. So it goes back again to the fact that a retrovirus has invaded this nation. Well, what is a retrovirus? I've called Barack Obama the equivalent of a retrovirus. A retrovirus is a fascinating organism. It's a virus that uses RNA, ribonucleic acid, as its genetic material. Now, most of our cells are made up of DNA, and when a retrovirus infects a cell, it makes a DNA copy of its own genome, and then it inserts itself into the DNA of the host cell that it invaded, and it starts to trick the cell that it invaded into thinking that that's what it is, and it causes diseases such as some forms of cancer, AIDS, even the common cold. So I just told you what it is. How does it do it? How does it trick the cell? Well, it's made up of genetic material that uses an enzyme called reverse transcriptase to become part of the cells that it invades, becoming just like the cell it invades, that it invaded. And then it allows many copies of the virus to be made in the host cells themselves.
Right.
Does that sound like what Obama has done to this country? Well, that's exactly what he's done. The entire Democrat Party has been invaded and infected by him. Not all of those in the Democrat Party were like this man originally. Not all of them were extremists like this man even 7 years ago. Some of them had a scintilla of patriotism and a scintilla of sanity. But today, the entire Democrat Party has been invaded and infected by the retrovirus called Barack Obama, who has infected them with his worldview that is so crazy, they don't even know what they're doing because they're just like him now. They become in essence, carbon copies. They yak and yak and yak and repeatedly tells them to say to the detriment of the United States and the world. And, of course, the same goes for a good portion of the Republican Party. It goes for 99% of the press corps. 99% of the press are infected by the retrovirus of liberalism or communism, whichever way you want to put it. But again, I don't want you to lose the theme of my show because it's not about bashing the retrovirus in the White House. It's too boring to bash Obama. He does it every time he opens his mouth. Frankly, I think he's beneath contempt at this point. I don't even want to talk about him. You know what I'm saying to you? I want to talk instead about today. I want to talk to you about what's happened to the free spirits of America. And how free spirits are more easily infected or, let us say, invaded than a rigid spirit. Do you understand where I'm coming from today? Does anyone quite understand it? And do you want? I want to ask you, little listeners, are you a former hippie who became a conservative? Are there any listeners to this show who in the 60s or 70s considered themselves free spirit hippies who are now and have been for a very long time conservatives? And when did you become a conservative and why? What was the moment that opened your eyes to where you were going? I wouldn't even call you conservatives. I would call you nationalists, which I'm doing for book after book now. To me, the word conservative has lost its meaning. It's become almost an ick word. When I hear the word conservative, I think of some rigid fat guy trying to tell me how to live my life, and I know he's a hypocrite. I know he's a liar behind the scenes. So I don't even like the word. I'd rather use the word independent. What was the moment that you opened your eyes to where you were going? And the fundamental problem, as I see it, is that many people of the 60s were free spirits. They thought they were, and they were. And many of them got stuck. They became like animals that fell into a tar pit, and they became frozen in time. And they still espouse 60s philosophy to this moment. To this minute, stuck repeating the same mantra of the 1960s that was placed in their head by the communists of the 1930s who were running the hippie movement of the 1960s. They never evolved. They don't even understand that they have destroyed their own lives and their own nation. They have not been able to evolve. And there are millions and millions of people like that. They're all over Hollywood. They're in the universities. Otherwise intelligent people stuck in the tar pit of the past. Unable to move on. Unable to evolve. Unable to see what they're doing to this nation. Taking their marching orders directly from the White House without even knowing it. And that's how evil and dangerous this retrovirus is. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. A president is a very powerful man. Powerful not only in what he can do politically, but what he can do mentally. And what this president is doing mentally to America and the world is beyond the comprehension of the average listener to this show. I don't have to list all the details. I've done so in many of my books. Government Zero, whether you read it or not, whether you heard about it or not, is irrelevant whether you heard about it or not. Although it was banned in San Francisco's media, Local Boy Made Real Good. It's his 29th book. This one became number 3 on the New York Times list. And so I've been able to break through because I have a big audience of independent readers. I don't have to tell you about the insanity of this retrovirus in the White House, granting the most terroristic nation on the planet, Iran, the right to develop nuclear weapons and missiles. Did you hear what came out today? Did you hear what John Kerry said? Your jaw will drop. You say, this can't be true. Why is he not being arrested for this? John Kerry made a speech that was just beyond comprehension, except in America, where no one even follows what anyone says anymore. You see, it's the cheeseheads versus the knockwurst heads. That's all they care about. Go, team, go. Go, team, go. Go, team, go. Go Dem, go Republican. Go Dem, go Republican. Go Dem, go Republican. Cheeseheads versus the knockwurst heads. It goes all the way back to what I said at the beginning. So what is it that Kerry said? He said that some of the billions that they're giving back to Iran will be used to fund terrorism. And nothing, though, not a word from the Jake Tappers of the world. Not a word from the Kool-Aid drinkers in the media. Not one word. Do you understand what's happening to America? Do you understand how destructive liberalism actually is? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? So, I'll go back to a simple question. Were you a hippie in the 60s, early 70s, who became a nationalist? When did you become somewhat, I can't even use the word conservative, I would say realistic, about your survival? Because there's no other words I can use. There's no single word. I'm not trying to redefine you. I don't want to redefine you. We're living through perplexing times all over again. I've never seen anything like this period in my lifetime. To have a maniac who's acting like a retrovirus, who has and is infecting his entire party, and by the way, in a good portion of the opposition party, in a way that you could never imagine could happen in a free nation. It's hard to believe, but he's so smart and so clever and so powerful. I don't know what the enzyme is that Obama used. The equivalent of reverse transcriptase. Maybe it's racism or the fear of being called a racist. But he has this enzyme. Enzyme, yes, is what he has. The mental enzyme. Obama has the equivalent of reverse transcriptase in his abilities. And he's invaded cells that didn't even know they were being invaded. And now they're actually mimicking his perverted worldview. So as I say, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about it because I was once a social worker. I was a teacher. I was a dreamer. I was a poet. You know what I'm saying? And now I'm Michael Savage. Have I really changed? I'm still a free spirit. I'm still a free spirit. I'm the same person. I don't have to apologize for my past. I'm very proud of it. I've never done anything wrong in my life that I'm really ashamed of. I mean, I'm a human being, so I'm imperfect. What I'm trying to say to you is we're living in strange times. We're living in very strange times. The cheeseheads versus the knockwurst heads. One party wears a block of cheese on their heads, and the other party wears a knockwurst on their heads. That's about as much sense as I can make out of this. The corruption on both sides is equivalent. And the people who represent both sides are about the equivalent. There is almost no difference in the corruption and the hypocrisy of either side, which is why a true independent such as myself, Michael Savage, is misunderstood and reviled by both sides, and by the way, distrusted by both sides, because they don't own me. They can't make any money with me. And by not owning me, they cannot control me. And by not controlling me, and by not making any money with me, I'm a threat to them. And that's why I talked about free spirits versus rigid spirits. And I could turn it over to the callers right now, but I may not. I may go to the National Review, the GOP parade. I may go to the other stories that I said I would like to talk about today about corruption running through both parties, and we'll go all the way back to the Ronald Reagan administration, because many of you think he was clean as the driven snow. You thought there was no corruption. Well, there was corruption. His attorney general, Edwin Meese, was the most corrupt attorney general since the one we had under Obama. The only difference is this one under Obama was ideologically corrupt. He was never caught doing it for money. They're more dangerous than those who were doing it for money. But Edwin Meese was forced to resign. Going all the way back to President Reagan's press secretary, Lynn Nofziger. Why am I calling him corrupt? Well, you have to look up the WedTech scandal. And you have to find out how public liaison officer Elizabeth Dole, through Dole, WedTech won a $32 million contract to produce small engines for the United States Army. And this was only the first of many no-bid deals that eventually totaled $250 million, which was a lot of money in those days. And by the final years of Ronald Reagan's second term, WedTech's crimes had become too numerous to hide. An independent counsel was appointed by Congress, which later charged Attorney General Edwin Meese with complicity in the scandal. Why? Because his close friend had worked as a lobbyist for the company and sought help from Meese on WedTech contract matters. While Meese was never convicted of any wrongdoing, he resigned in 1988 when the independent counsel delivered the report on WedTech. The independent counsel, McKay, never prosecuted or sought indictment of Meese, but in his official report, which is still confidential, he was highly critical of Mises ethics and urged further investigation of Mises' role in that scandal and others, such as Edwin Mises' efforts to help Bechtel Corporation build an oil pipeline on Saddam Hussein's, in Saddam Hussein, for Saddam Hussein's Iraq. Read about it. Read about the WedTech scandal, and you'll find out that this corruption has run through our political system for a very long period of time, which is why they hate Donald Trump, incidentally. Do you understand how it all leads back to him? He has no donors. He is not beholden to any of them. Is he perfect? No. Will he be a perfect this or a perfect that? No. But they don't own him, and they don't know what's going to happen. And the gravy train will end, because they don't know who to go to get to him. That's what's freaking them out. They don't know which lobbyist to pay off to reach Donald Trump now or then. And they're panicking, because they may have to work for a living. Now you understand the rest of the story. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. And that comes from, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Great poet John Donne, no longer taught in universities, and said they teach, I guess, 50 cents lyrics about rape, murder, kidnapping, beating people up. And this is the beauty of European literature. Read it. John Donne, No Man is an Island. Beautiful literature. It's what made the whole West. It's what created the cathedrals. It's what created the electricity, the ampere, volt, everything you name, all of our inventions that are of any value, all came from these people who are now despised by the rabble. You want to call the rabble the have-nots, you'd be wrong, because many of them have many, many billions of dollars. But they're using the rabble to bring down the last vestiges of Western civilization, now assaulting Western civilization with an invasion unseen in human history, an invasion occurring without a shot being fired, an invasion which in the past would have required a nation losing in battle to permit millions of foreign men to enter the country and have their way with the nation. It's never happened before. It's happening right in front of your eyes. And if you think that the end is going to be good for you, you're very mistaken. It'll be very bad for you. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. I could say if a woman is raped on New Year's Eve in Germany, all women were raped in New Year's Eve on Germany. But then it would be too much for the average liberal to understand. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. And so I talk, and I bleed for those who are being decimated on a daily basis, the Christians who are being driven out of the Middle East while the UN does nothing but collect their pay and collect whatever greedy little things they can on the side. UN is useless, worthless, nothing. What's the UN army for? Why has it not been sent in to rescue the Yazidi girls? Why has it not been sent in to protect the Syrians in a protected compound or enclave so they don't have to come to Europe and the rest of the world? The UN is as corrupt as the Republican and Democrat parties are, and that's why they're not challenged. Any man's death diminishes me, because I'm involved in mankind, and therefore never sent to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. D-O-N-N-E, John. Used to be taught in universities. I guess now, because he's a white male and European at that, I guess his poetry was no good. This is the Savage Nation. You can tell it's in a little different place today, but it's really the place I'm usually in when I'm not on the air. This is where I am. This is who I am. You want more of it? Listen. You don't want more of it? Don't listen. But I'm going to be me. It's all I can be. Thanks for listening.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Jimi Hendrix was. I mean, look what he can do with an electric guitar. He captured the entire mood of America at that time. The disharmonics are just what we're hearing now. A disharmonic American national anthem. No man is an island. 6,000 flights are shut down because of the snowstorm, the blizzard. Dulles, New York City, South Carolina to Kansas, New York to South Carolina to Kansas. 85 million people, more than a quarter of the U.S. population, is being affected by the snowstorm. And so even if we're sitting here in a non-snowy area, we are affected by it. It really goes to the issue of no man is an island entire of itself, when you think about it. So we hear the Yazidi girls screaming as they're being raped by the ISIS Muslims, who say it's okay, according to the Quran, to rape. You should hear their screams. Or if an elephant in Africa is shot by a gunship flying overhead from some corrupt ivory hunter selling it to some piece of garbage in China to put on his mantle to show what a great bourgeois he's become, you should hear the elephant scream. You should hear the little baby elephant running in fear as his father elephant is killed and he doesn't know what to do to live. You should hear it all. But I don't think you can. No man is an island entire of itself. We're all part of the same. And in this interconnected world that we keep hearing about through the internet, we're all part of the main. And any man's death should diminish you because you're involved in mankind. And as John Donne wrote, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say to you. This little interconnected world of ours, and you're blind, deaf, and dumb to what's being done on the planet to innocent people because your president won't talk about Islamofascism. It doesn't exist. Because John Kerry gives $75 billion to the terrorist nation of Iran, which still wants to wipe Israel off the map. You don't care. You should care. Why? Because no man is an island. It is affecting you. Oh, it's affecting you for sure. Take a look at San Bernardino. Oh, I know you're not from San Bernardino, but you should care about San Bernardino because tomorrow it could be Berkeley. Tomorrow one of those fanatics, God forbid, could blow up a supermarket in San Francisco. He won't know whether you're a good progressive who loved Muslims or fanatics or... He doesn't care. They're killing Muslims themselves who are not pure enough for them. Oh, you should care very, very much, and you should care only about national security. It's the number one issue. Put aside all of your left-wing agendas for a moment. For God's sakes, get off the 1960s already. Stop with the homophobia. Understand that no man is an island, and that one bomb can ruin your day, whether you're a progressive, gay, straight, doesn't matter. And that the only thing that should matter to all of us is who's going to be toughest in crushing ISIS before they crush us. Through 1,000 slashes. Oh, they are an existential threat to us. They get their hands on a dirty nuke, you'll find out just what I'm saying to you. And here we have a Department of Homeland Security stooge, Jay Johnson, still has his job after San Bernardino, only in a corrupt administration. But as I said in the last hour, the corruption doesn't run on one side only. Both wings are dirty. Left wing and right wing are filthy. The feathers on both wings are so dirty from the sludge of the sewer that the bird can't fly anymore. And that's what I've been trying to say to you. And I don't know if I got through to you. I really don't. But I've come to a new conclusion in my life, in my professional life. So be it. I can't sit here asking myself every second, you know, do they understand what I'm saying? Well, at least some do, but most don't. Most don't. They're either cheeseheads or knockwurst heads. I've listened to radio for 20 years, and I know most people who call talk radio want to root for a team. They want to root as a cheesehead or as a knockwurst head. They want to sit in the stadium, sit in the snow, and cheer for their team. That's all they're capable of doing. Knockwursts, go, go, go. Cheeseheads, go, go, go. They have no use for anyone who's trying to be subtle or explain the bigger picture to them. It's just not here. It's not in this ether. But nevertheless, that's where I am. That's where I live. That's who I am. That's how I am. And we'll see how you are. So, let's take the callers. Because we're still on in the East Coast, believe it or not. They haven't closed us off in New York because of the blizzard yet. They haven't shut us down on WMAL in Washington yet. And all the other stations that I have, the wonderful stations East and West, are open for business at 855-407-282. If you're home alone, or rather home in the snowstorm that is or soon will be, and you have very little to do, I guarantee you the audience is larger for radio today than normal. And maybe they're not used to this tone. Maybe I sound different, but it's really me. I get into these moods once in a while, but nevertheless, I have to take the callers is what I have to do right now. So let's go to WABC. Dave, go ahead. What's on your mind? Did you hear what I said in hour one? How did it affect you?
It affected me. It was like a spiritual awakening. Let me tell you, Dr. Savage, I thought I was a Republican until I heard you speak today. And you were absolutely right. Both of their cult, they are a cult. Republicans are a cult. Democrats are a cult. And you hit the nail right on the head today better than I've ever heard anybody ever put it. And I will forever be listening to you. And whatever book you have out there, I'm going on Amazon today to buy it. Because I'm not
here to sell you a book. I'm here to sell you the idea that we have a corrupt political system. And that if you were a cheesehead before or a knockwurst head before, I hope you understand that you were just being used as a shill for corrupt politicians and a corrupt party on either side. And to sit here pointing fingers at Obama, great. Yeah, he's done a lot of damage, but you think the other side is clean? No, they're not clean. And I took you all the way back to the Reagan administration, who many people think was God himself, but he wasn't. And I talked about the attorney general under him. I'll bet you never heard any of that.
I have not. No, it's the first time. And that's why I'm saying it was like a spiritual awakening listening to you today.
Now you know why Donald Trump is being attacked by the Republican Party, the National Review, and Jane Fonda. Isn't it odd how politics makes such strange bedfellows that Jane Fonda, who's on a tear with her Hollywood leftists against Donald Trump, has now been joined by Thomas Sowell, Rich Lowry, John Fund, Brent Bazell, Glenn Beck, Edwin Meese, Dana Loesch, Cal Thomas, William Kristol, John Podhoretz, and others you never heard of. Isn't it interesting why they all hate him?
That's what it is. And you are 100% correct. I'm telling you, I never heard of it.
Well, all right. I'm trying to tell you something here, and I don't know how many people get it yet. They still want to put on the hat, the cheese hat, and sit in the snow cheering for the cheese team. Well, let me send you a free copy of Government Zero, since you were going to go buy it. You may as well have it. 855-407-282. We have great callers now, interesting callers. And I've asked people if they were hippies who became, not conservatives so much, former hippies who became something else other than diehard hippies to call a show. I really wanted to hear from you, and I have some good ones. Let's go to Ellen, WNVU Radio in North Carolina. Ellen, define what you are and what you are.
I am currently libertarian, a 60-year-old hippie.
I like it. That means you moved from New York and you're living in North Carolina, right?
I'm from New York originally. And, I was flipped over because in the 90s, an older lady friend gave me a copy of Bastiat's The Law. That little 50-page book flipped me right over.
But where are you today as a former hippie lady?
I am fiscally conservative and I am socially liberal.
Okay, what does socially liberal mean? Explain what the bullet points are for that.
Pro-abortion, pro-women's rights, pro-freedom. I am a small government.
Okay, I'm listening carefully. If you could vote today, of all the candidates, both sides, who would you vote for?
I love Rand, but I'm going for Trump.
Bingo. That's what I've been trying to say. So many people on both sides who are independent are going for Trump, which is why he's being attacked by Jane Fonda and the National Review and the entire Republican establishment, for that matter.
Well, of course, because they're attacking him because he's made money. He's a self-made man, primarily. And
they can't buy him. They can't buy access to him.
Not exactly. He's an honest man.
So has the snow hit in North Carolina yet?
Pardon me?
Have you had the snow hit yet?
No, sir. I think we're just going to get rain here in eastern North Carolina, about 2 inches.
So what is life like for a former New York hippie, socialist, liberal, flower child, patchouli oil-wearing Woodstock woman to be living in North Carolina?
Okay, well, the problem is where I live in a retirement town, and there's a lot of young liberal retirees moving here. So you've got the old school, super old school, which I think are primarily right-wing Republican types. Then you got the old school Democrats.
Do you have any right-wing Republican types who are your friends that you talk to?
Well, I'm lucky to have a few, and I am one of these.
Oh, old Santa Mike laughed at that one. You actually like them. Why?
Oh, I love them. I love them because primarily they're libertarian-based also. You know, if they don't agree with me socially, you know, I'm a believer that the government should not be involved in my social issues, my social policy, whether I want to have an abortion, whether I want to, mow my lawn or grow a damn, pardon me.
Well, I said that yesterday, and I was attacked viciously by the crony constitutionalists who want everyone to hold up to their own standard in their own mind.
Rand, I love Rand, but Rand is way...
Yeah, he dropped to the bottom of the heap. I get it.
No, but you know what, Mike...
Right, so you don't want to back a losing horse, that's all. Well, Ellen, I'm glad you're a listener. I think that you are more... I would say representative of my listenership than people may believe. I don't expect that I have a lot of RNC types listening to my show. I think that they probably despise me. They read the National Review, they read the Weekly Standard, and they read websites that promote the Republican National Committee bullet points, but that's it. So I have staked out the middle road a long time ago. When I say the middle road, I mean the independent road. And the independent road is exactly what Donald Trump represents, and that's exactly why he's hated by the Republican Party. Ellen, thank you so much. Hold on. Send Ellen a copy of Government Zero. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. Welcome back to the independent Savage Nation. I guess that's what I should say. You know, that's why I changed the opening statement. The talk radio for the thinking person. I changed it at the beginning of January because I truly think that those who are drawn to my show are the more independent thinkers. They're not rigid ideologues of Republican or Democrat sides, cheeseheads versus knockwurst heads, as I said. And in that sense, I've got to keep doing what I do, which is do what I do, whatever I'm interested in. So yesterday I talked about the world through a sardine. Remember that one? I talked to a fisherman. Why would I do that? Because I need to stay grounded in the real world. Otherwise, we can get just adrift like helium balloons and not know what we're talking about. Rob on KSFO in San Francisco, what's on your mind?
This is the best show you've ever had, Michael. And the reason is you're talking about common sense. Trump has common sense. He can get things done. Rich Lowry and all of those people that wrote that article and the headline are theorists. They live in a theory world. They've never gone out and had to build and manufacture and sell anything in life.
You're 100%. Bob, you talk about hitting the nail on the head. You look at these intellectuals, and they're all good people, I'm sure, and people I've respected in the past for their writings at the National Review, with the GOP. They are. They live in a fake world, in a sandcastle world. They're academic elitists, in other words. And so they hate Donald Trump, who's a man from the real world. And moreover, they don't care whether he wins or loses. They want him to lose because they'd rather have Hillary Clinton. It's not that they love Donald Trump. Ted Cruz. They love Hillary Clinton because she's part of the establishment as they are. That's what I really think it is.
Well, I think that if Trump wins the convention, you will see those people begrudgingly support Trump. They're not going to support Clinton. Clinton is way, way too far away from this.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Even the National Review will come to their senses when he wins the convention, if he's not blocked from it by the corrupt Republican Party. Now, how many years, Rob, have you listened to this show off and on?
I started listening to you probably, 8 years ago, I would guess.
Where, here in the Bay Area, San Francisco?
Actually, no. I travel 40-some weeks a year for my work, and I tune in to the Bay Area's one on my internet. I stream it on my internet because it comes in clear, and it comes in at a time that's convenient for me.
My show is the number one listened to talk radio show in America on streaming, the number one streaming talk show in America. People say, oh, it doesn't mean anything. I'm a 27 share, or 25 share, rather. The next one has a 13.7 share. So more people listen to my stream than any other show. In fact, the next three shows put together. That's a very big statement, Rob, and I think that the independent message is enormously popular. It's resonating across the airwaves and on the internet, and I'm really thrilled to hear what you just said. If you've listened for this long, do you detect something different in me today, by the way, in my tone?
Yes, I can tell that today's a very serious show. But you nailed it with the common sense issue. That's why it's so important that...
But did you hear me talk about the cheeseheads versus the knockwurst heads, that if we look down 100 years from now, someone reviewed 2016, they would say, what kind of nation was this? That they had people on one side like cheeseheads and the other ones wearing knockwurst on their heads, cheering for the parties. That's what it seems like to me. We're sitting in a stadium, and most people don't care about what's really going on. They made up their minds. They're rooting for the conservatives or the Democrats, or they're rooting for the Republicans, and they don't even know what's going on. What about my theory on the hippie movement was not all bad? Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, I totally agree with that. I'm a 64-year-old guy that...
Okay, hold on. This is so good. I don't care if I sound somber. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back, Knockwurst Heads. I read a story this morning. Bill Johnson, brash Olympic downhill champion, dies at 55. I got to tell you, my immediate gut reaction was, I said, thank God I'm a wimp. I'm not cheering that he died, you don't get me wrong. But I smile. I said, I outlived another athlete. It reminds me of the Mark Twain line. He says he gets all his exercise walking. He gets all his exercise walking to the funerals of his more athletic friends. But I'm not cheering that this guy died. It's something else. Bill Johnson craves speed. The faster the better. He stole cars as a kid, got in trouble for it, and was ordered by a judge to make a choice, ski school or jail. That's what caught my eye. He had a judge who was rational. We don't have them anymore. Where a local judge gave him a choice. Go to ski school because you're good at skiing, or go to jail. Now, could you imagine if we had judges in America today who can give kids a second chance? Because it's the daring kids who can save America. Not the drones who sit in an office all day long in a cubicle, working for a web company or for Facebook. He died Thursday at an assisted living facility in Oregon, where he has been staying since a major stroke a few years ago steadily took away the use of most of his body. Okay, that's sad. A man as active as that to be reduced to that. But the story is interesting on many levels. He stole cars as a kid, got in trouble for it, and was ordered by a judge to make a choice, ski school or jail. How many kids who went on to a life of crime because they were thrown into prison too young would have benefited from a judge like that? That's what I'm trying to say to you. How many poor kids are in jail because of a minor crime? No bodily injury even. You know, small minor property crime. Wouldn't it be nice if you had judges who could say, go into the army, for example, or go to jail? I have another friend whose father was given that choice from New York, believe it or not. He grew up in Little Italy, Italian, tough as nails, troublemaker, got caught. The judge gave him a choice, go into the military or go to jail. He went into the military, became one of the most heroic, highly decorated soldiers of World War II. See what I'm getting at? We don't have that anymore. It's, again, it's crazy, the country. There's no middle ground anymore. Everything is a fanatical answer. The left says don't give him any jail, and the other one says throw the book at him. Shawnee on WABC Radio in the heart of the blizzard. WABC New York. Shawnee, what's on your mind?
Thank you so much. I listen to you every day, and you make me feel like I'm back home in Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas, where I feel people have some common sense. And I tell my friends, I moved here in 67. I still feel like a stranger in a strange land. And I tell my friends, this is not like a football game. I'm not rooting for a team. I like character, and I love my country. And that's what I care about. I don't understand these people.
No, so you're a cheese. You're not wearing a cheese block on your head or a knockwurst on your head sitting in a stadium.
Bibles kind of place.
Now, you said you moved to New York when? In 1957?
No, 67. I was a secretary by day and a hippie by night. Sort of.
Did you say 67? I'm trying to catch the year. I can't hear it.
Yeah, 67.
Oh, my God. That was just the beginning of the hippie era. You must have had a wild time in New York then.
I saw the Who open for the Doors. I went way back.
The Doors, God.
Yeah.
Well, that opened. Did you see? There's an old movie. I happen to love 50s movies, black and white movies, and even early 60s. Well, even late 60s movies were still great. And this one was called The Apartment with Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine. Did you ever see that movie?
Of course.
Well, that's you. That's you. You're the secretary in the office building, and all of the executives were hitting on you, and they thought they could do so with impunity. Am I right?
Oh, I've got stories.
You know, I just watched that movie the other night on TCM, one of my favorite channels, irrespective of the liberalism of Mankiewicz. I love the channel. And I couldn't believe the plot line. She's an elevator operator, pretty young girl, played by Shirley MacLaine. And he has an apartment, a little walk-up that today nobody could afford in Manhattan. Certainly no junior executive could afford the apartment that Jack Lemmon had. And he gives his key out to executives above him where they can have their trysts. And as a result, they keep moving him up in the company because he knows their secrets, right? It's phenomenal. But the writing of that movie from the point of view of the girl who's being exploited by the men is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I worked in advertising, and it was really bad, man. It was crazy.
Oh, my God. Well, there's another movie I got to mention right now that I'd recommend over the weekend. It was called A Woman's World, 1952. A Woman's World. It's about three executives brought to New York by the owner of an automobile manufacturing company, you know, like a level of a Ford. And he's interviewing all of them with their wives to see which one will be made national sales director. And they come to his apartment in Manhattan. Then they go to his estate out in Mill Neck, Long Island, this huge English-style estate. And the wives are the critical element in the selection of who will become the national sales manager. It's when such things as that were important in America. Amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
the plaintiff, yeah. All right, I'll give you some reading next weekend. It'll be snowing all winter. It's called Winter in America. I'll send you Government Zero for your reading pleasure. Guess what, folks? It's January. You know what happens in America in January? The East Coast gets hit by blizzards. It didn't occur with global warming. It started a long time ago, even when I was a mere lad. I had a little sled, an American Flyer. I have such great memories of snow. I never learned to ski because, well, we were poor kids didn't ski. You know, that White Men Can't Jump. Remember that movie? I would say poor kids didn't ski in those days. I just didn't have the time, the money, nor the inclination. But the thing was, is I had a sled, and boy, did I enjoy it. I lived on Longfellow Avenue in the Bronx, and above me was Bryant Avenue, way up the hill. And we would get on that sled and shoot down the hill. I remember once we almost got killed by a big dump truck that had a chain drive on it. Could you imagine a truck? A monster truck, think of a big truck that has a chain on it with a chain drive. And my friend's uncle, his uncle was, I don't know how old he was, he must have been 18, we were 8, 10, who knows. He was the old guy. Well, the uncle was on the bottom, then my friend and then me, or I was squashed in the middle, I don't know which. And, you know, you go careening down the hill, and you lose control of the sled, you go under the wheel of a truck. You're just a statistic, right? But those are great days. I remember building the snowmen. Kids love the snow. They love dad's home, mom's home, everyone's home. You know, the kitchen's functional. They're eating at home for the first time. No takeout meal. They haven't seen their parents together for a long time. They don't know that the father would rather be at work today making a living. They don't even know what a living is. And that's why they're natural Democrats. They go to school and they come out with the same view as that of a child. They think everything is given to them. And so they want a demagogue like Obama promises to give them something for nothing. Or Hillary, I'll give you something for nothing. But if you would ask me to divide the country up in a single statement, I did the cheesehead versus the knockwurst heads, right? I'll do it another way. I would say that the Democrats are offering... I would say that Donald Trump would be offering a chicken in every pot, meaning, you know, happy days are here again. He's going to make America great again. He's going to create jobs, right? A chicken in every pot. That used to be a phrase for what politicians offered. That when I'm president, there'll be a chicken in every pot because starvation was... There was a lot of hunger in America way back when. I would say the Democrats offer pot in every chicken, that they're offering pot for every chicken. You get that picture, of course. That's the difference between Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump in a nutshell. Trump is offering a chicken in every pot, and Sanders or Hillary would be offering pot for every chicken. I think it's funny. I can tell by the audience's reaction they didn't even understand that it's too subtle. Okay, we'll move on. What a week we've had. Monday, professor says the Quran says Muslims can rape non-Muslims. Cameron in England said immigrants must learn English if they're to remain in England. Schwab says Europe will be facing a crisis with possibly a billion Africans surging north because of the oil collapse. And I said how we've devolved from I have a dream to I have a scheme in one generation. Portland Community College calls for a month of white shaming. I then said liberals are nice people, but they don't understand the real world and how it works. I also said millionaires and billionaires who run the Democrat Party drove Jim Webb out. Tuesday, here's what we talked about. They want to ban Donald Trump from England like they banned Michael Savage from Britain. And I said, wouldn't it be funny if I joined Louis Farrakhan in a lawsuit against England? I said, England gave us the Magna Carta, now it's a nation of slaves living on a slave island. I also said Hillary's email scandal is the biggest story of the day. She transmitted emails higher than top secret. Many former attorneys general said she should be indicted. Who is she being protected by? I'll let you figure that one out. On Wednesday, I said I defined conservative in 1994 as defined by Borders, Language, and Culture. I also described to you that there are low-information voters on the right as well as on the left. That's the first time you ever heard that. I also told you who created the phrase low-information voter. It was by Popov, a liberal sociologist in 1991. I guess you didn't know that. I then said that Cruz bots are using the same rhetoric that the communist organizers once used. Either you're 100% conservative, like me, or you're not a conservative. Well, it's unfortunate for Mr. Cruz that he supported Obama's TPP, the Southeast Asia Trade Pact. Isn't that unfortunate that he's not so pure as he says? I then went on to Thursday. I asked you, what is a liberal? Remember on Wednesday we said, what is a conservative? And Thursday we did, what is a liberal? And I said, liberals are not so bad. They had an adage. They may not agree with you, but they would fight for your right to say it. And then I talked about, how is it that liberal companies evade taxes? And I said that Jane Fonda is running a smear campaign against Trump. And she's now been joined by the National Review and by crony constitutionalists in attacking Donald Trump. And that was the Week in Review. And if you care to comment on any of these topics, we have a few minutes left in this hour. And the phone number is 855-400-7282. Let me take one quick call before we go on to the break. Sue on WMAL in Washington. Go ahead, please, Sue. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I want to comment about the statement you made that the hippie movement was not all bad. And I was one of the flower children in 1971 that was part of the largest mass arrest in U.S. history. We were picked up downtown. We were protesting the war and ended up being penned in outside RFK Stadium. just a mass arrest of 10,000-12,000 of us. Eventually, the charges were all dropped, and the ACLU came in and got us all a settlement for the violation of our constitutional rights of free assembly, the only U.S. citizens in history, our history, to ever receive financial compensation for violation of our rights of free assembly. And after that sorted,
So let's stop right there. So you think that the Black Lives Matter movement has a right to block bridges during rush hour and drop and prevent working people from going to their jobs? You think that's a good thing?
I do not think it is a good thing. And I'm just saying that the Republican president, Nixon, had no problem violating our constitutional rights. All we were doing was just protesting the war. We were not doing...
Right. Oh, okay, I got it from that period, but it seems like you've changed politically because you understand how destructive some of these sit-ins are, and it's not really about free expression. It's about blocking other people's freedom of access and freedom of movement.
That's exactly what it was, and I grew up, I got smart, and now I'm on the overpass on 95 in the bluest of the blue states, Maryland, with a group of people with a banner every Friday afternoon, except today where it's snowing. But we have a banner that says, Trump, he can't be bought. And
now, isn't this, so this is what I'm getting at. That's what I'm tapping into here. You're a former flower child, arrested in a demonstration, and now you're for Trump. And now you understand where I stand. Now you understand why the crony constitutionalists and the RNC hate me, because I can't be bought either.
That's exactly right. And I love you. I think it's fantastic to have you on the air every day. I love listening to you. And in fact, Michael, when my daughter was accepted to Cambridge University for her master's program, I would not give her the money to go. I said any country that won't allow a patriot like Michael Savage to come into their country is not getting a dime from me or my daughter.
Oh, God. So don't tell me she went to Maryland State.
No, she ended up going to another university for her master's, met a great guy, got married, and she's a millennial, 29 years old. She's voting for Trump. My husband.
Oh, my God. You see, this is the landslide I'm talking about. This is why I'm being attacked, why I'm being slighted, why people on both the Republican and Democrat sides distrust me because they can't own me. Did you hear me reading John Donne today, Sue?
I love John Donne. And in fact, Michael, this is the second time.
Stay on the line because this is what I'm talking about. This is my show right here. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Well, we're almost out of time on this show. I mean, that caller was so typical, I think, of the millions, tens of millions of independent women in this country who also were wild, in a way, free. I don't mean they were crazy nymphos. I didn't say that. Everyone you say, if you say flower child, you assume every woman who was a liberationist was a sexual madwoman. It's not what I'm saying at all. They were political independents. They were politically free. They hated the rigid system. They hated the rigid establishment of warmongers, is what it came down to. Now, maybe they were swayed by communists and didn't even know it. But I can guarantee you that most of them today are not Jane Fonda types anymore. Anyone who's gone out into the real world, had babies come out of their bodies, watched the babies go through life and become adults and have babies of their own, I guarantee you they're conservatives by today. Now, when I say conservative, I realize not as pure as Ted Cruz. After all, they may not be in favor of TPP, of trade with the Southeast Asian nations. But they're nationalistic. They want the country saved from the Hitlerites of today. They don't like a government like ours that tries to impose Jeffersonian democracy on tribal cultures in Afghanistan or Iraq. It can't work. It's impossible to work. It's stupid to have imposed this kind of idiotic strategy upon Iraq or Afghanistan. That's what allowed ISIS to rise. They hate political correctness when they see Muslim fanatics being led into Europe and raping women, and instead of the governments cracking down on the Muslim immigrants and throwing them out of the country, they're cracking down on the men of Germany who are trying to protect their women. That's America today, That's what my show is about. Thanks for listening.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287-SAVAGE. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Carpe diem, welcome to The Savage Nation. Maybe I should name my next boat Carpe Diem, but I don't think there will be a next boat. Maybe I should name my next dog Carpe Diem. It's Latin for seize the day. Now, first hour, I had a good time. Second hour, I had a better time. The third hour, I'm hoping to have a better time with you. The phone number here is 855-407-282. I'll tell you, my favorite calls, if I said to you, are you a former flower child or hippie who's become politically different? I didn't say conservative because the word has no meaning anymore. When you see people who are crony constitutionalists disguised as conservatives attacking anybody who doesn't conform to their concept of what a so-called conservative is, and when you see the so-called conservative National Review attacking Donald Trump, believe me, the word is dirty. It's been muddied. It has no valid meaning for me. And that's why I've been talking about it all week. I knew this day would come. The day would come that Jane Fonda agrees with the National Review, you know something is up. And that is that a true independent has arisen. And nobody, neither of the parties, know what to do with him. And so that's why I read to you from John Donne, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind. And therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. See, Hemingway quoted that in his novel, For Whom the Bell Tolls, and he got it from a writer, John Donne, a poet from the 1600s. That's when books were great, that's when the films were great, instead of the Harvey Weinstein version of theater today, film theater, where every movie has to start with a gun. Every movie has to have someone knifed to death, and then he can run a campaign against the Second Amendment, old Harvey. You want to know what New York values are? I think that's what they were hinting at, hypocrisy. And I don't think it's limited to liberals, by the way. That's what I've been trying to tell you. There was another poem I used to remember from college. It was called To the Virgins to Make Much of Time. That became our favorite poem at Queens College. Because in those days, we had intelligent women in the classroom. And those of us who wanted to date intelligent women had to use poetry. So someone latched on to the virgins to make much of time, which was written by Robert Herrick in the 17th century. And all we remembered was, gather ye rosebuds while ye may, old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying. And we thought we were so smart when we said that to the girls in college. The glorious land, you know how, you get what this is? The age is best, which is the first, when youth and blood are warmer. But being spent the worse and worse, time still succeed the former. Then be not coy, but use your time. And while ye may go marry, for having lost but once your prime, you may forever tarry. Now, Robert, you're in your 20s. Did you have to use poems like this to meet women? You did? No, not at all. You just offered them a bud. Anyway... 1648, can you believe this? So you see, even in those days, people were dating, going out, getting married, and having children. Can you believe that? People in the 1600s dated and went out and had children. How do you like that? You think you're the first ones to do it, right? You think you're the first ones to do everything. No, you're not. You are not. And you're not an island unto yourself, let me tell you that. So let's go to the callers. I've been having a very good day so far. Somber though I am, the show I think is great. Because I don't think you have to scream and yell and have someone to hate to do a great radio show. You know what I'm saying? That's something you do when you're a novice in radio. You make a lot of noise. You stand out. You know, I'll tell you what it is. I remember when I first started in radio, a program director said to me, well, he hired a guy who was very loud and obnoxious, made a lot of noise, attracted a lot of attention, and he got rid of him after 6 months. And I said, what's that about? He said, when you open a new McDonald's, he said, you have to put a clown outside that screams a lot and yells and honks his horn to get the drivers to come in. But once they start coming in, you don't need that clown anymore. Of course, he was sending me a message. I was new in radio 21 years ago. This is the problem with media today. Many people are like that clown outside the McDonald's. They still think that they have to honk the horn and bang the bell in order to get you to listen or to read. You don't have to. I think that intellect itself is the sale. Whatever you have that's good, people will hear. And whatever you have that's bad, people will hear, and they'll make up their own minds. And that's the same with the campaign. We don't need to scream and yell and call everyone a name every second of the day in order to make our point, do we? It's true that Obama is the retrovirus who has triggered this partisanship in a way it's not been seen in the country in my time. I've never seen anything like this. This exceeds anything even since the Vietnam War. The division in America during the Vietnam War was enormous. The chasm was insurmountable. But what Obama has done is opened up a chasm between virtually every group in the country, even blacks amongst blacks. The same way the Sunni fanatics have opened up a deeper chasm than ever existed between the Sunni and Shiite factions of Islam. Obama has opened up a schism within his own people, by the way, because he is a divider. That's how he conquered. Never make a mistake about that. And along comes a man with common sense like Donald Trump. And right away, National Review joins Jane Fonda. And there we go. The crony constitutionalists join in the fray, screaming and yelling and calling him names. You're not a conservative. Jacques Hughes, you're not a pure Marxist. You're not a pure constitutionalist. You're not a pure this. You're not a pure that. That's what's going on right now. That passes for judgment. That's not what it's about. It's about defeating ISIS, as far as I can tell. You can put all other issues aside. Every one of them doesn't matter to me right now, because I'm going to tell you something that you don't want to hear. ISIS is here in this country. We know they're here. They're in every state. They're listening to this show. They're just deciding when and where to strike next. We have a doofus moron in the Department of Homeland Security who is more concerned with keeping his job than keeping America safe. We have a man in the White House who should have fired the head of DHS a long time ago, but won't because he's got exactly what he wants. Someone who won't do anything until he's told to jump by the boss. There's only one independent at the upper level of this government, and that's the gentleman who runs the FBI. As far as I can tell, the head of the FBI, Mr. Comey, is as honest as they come. He's as good as they come. He's independent, appointed for 10 years, he has a tenured position. They can't fire him. And we're all waiting to see whether he will finally bring an indictment against... Well, he can't. He's done an investigation on Hillary Clinton's emails. But by what we all read, that unless an indictment is forthcoming from Loretta Lynch, who is our attorney general, there will be a massive problem inside this FBI. They might resign en masse. The director of the FBI could resign unless there's an indictment. I mean, if you look at the list of people, Democrat, Republican alike, who called for an indictment, you'd be shocked. It's not making it to MSNBC, but the list is pretty long on this email scandal. Former attorney generals, Democrat, Republican, are saying you've got to do it. Former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, admittedly Republican, said the odds are pretty high that Russia, China, and Iran accessed Hillary Clinton's server. Do you realize? Email exposed intelligence from human spying. Former Attorney General Mukasey said criminal charge justified. This is a big deal. This is a huge deal. And she's skating. She's skating. Is she too big to fail? Is it the Democrat Party itself that's afraid that she's too big to fail and step down? Who will be left? The spritzer from Manhattan, the spritzer from the gutters of New York? No, they'll bring in Biden. Which, by the way, and I've said yesterday, if they bring in Biden, who's just a continuation of Obama, he'll be a much tougher candidate for Trump to defeat, incidentally, if Trump's the candidate. It'll be two older white guys running against each other, and that is going to create a bigger problem for Trump than you can imagine. You want me to break it down according to on racial lines, I'll be happy to do that for you. I'm a sporting fan, and I watch what happens at boxing matches. Well, you think this is something new under the sun? Even when I was younger, I would see that they would pit one religion against another. Young. Then they picked one race against another. They still do. You watch a big fight, it's a black versus an Hispanic, isn't it? By and large. And along comes the Ukrainians. No one knows where the Russians came from. How could white guys wind up so tough? What do they eat up there? Icicles? Instead of giving them bottles of milk, they give them bottles of icicles in the Ukraine. How do these guys become so tough? Where are they from? Well, so then you got these fights now breaking down according to ethnic and racial lines, the same way that the election will break down according to man versus woman, da-da-da-da-da. Well, but if it's Biden versus Trump, now you have a whole different ball game. Sanders is zero. Trump wins Drudge Super Poll with 36%. Sanders at 29%. Cruz at 19%, over a million votes. Anything could happen. The country's crazy right now. I wouldn't be surprised if that lunatic communist could win. It happened in France. I mean, even though this one is far less attractive than even Mitterrand, Mitterrand is known as the imbecile of Europe. And even he became a socialist leader of France. They elected that lunatic. He drove so many people out of France, that imbecile, by taxing the most productive and most successful citizens of France. And, of course, he gave us the attacks in Paris because of the weakness in France, the same way that it will happen under Sanders. If you think that ISIS is rising here now and they're a threat, you're right. But God forbid Sanders ever became president, it would become a daily occurrence in this country, and he would not do anything to stop it. He'd be talking about climate change. He'd be talking about climate change. Bombs could be going off and buildings could be tumbling. And President Sanders would be saying, climate change is our number one problem. Well, now we had Obama last night. He awarded $1 billion to local governments to build more climate-resilient communities. I'm going to ask you something as you listen to clip number one. Tell me where you think that $1 billion is going to go. Tell me who you think is going to get the construction contracts. Tell me who the contractors are who are going to get what Obama's offering in 01. Listen.
From Little Rock to San Diego, cities are putting people to work, retrofitting buildings so that they're more energy efficient. Mm. Earlier today, my administration announced that we are going to award 13 cities, states, and counties $1 billion to help build more climate-resilient communities.
Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds like rubbish to me. Pork barrel spending, paying off his crony capitalist friends for supporting him, paying them back with drywall contracts, paying them back with replacing the glass in the building, replacing ceilings. Tell me how many companies are going to bid on these projects, and tell me who these no-bid contractors are. And if you trace the money, my friends, it won't be too hard for you to find. It goes right back into the Senate and the Congress. And that leads us to the time, which is 19 minutes after the hour in the Savage Nation. I want to direct you to something funny, and that is a link that I had on my website today from the San Francisco newspaper about last night's opening of the ballet. As in all small provincial cities, we have a ballet here in San Francisco. Oh yeah, we put on a good ballet. My God, as good as some of them shows back east. And all you got to do is go to the bottom of michaelsavage.com, ladies, if you want to have a laugh. And my headline says it all, out-of-town gowns in San Francisco. I've never seen anything as misfitting in my entire life. Women with horse legs, wearing dresses that are made for them by misogynists, disguised as gown makers. I've never seen anything. They have no taste. These are so gauche. If you want to have fun, you'll see patrons and balladomanas mingled at the opening night gala. Out-of-town gowns in San Francisco on michaelsavage.com.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. One of the things I love about living in this hypocritical liberal city of San Francisco is ridiculing them. Along the lines of what Voltaire did with Paris, they would say to him, "How could you live here, Mr. Voltaire?" He says, "Well, look at what I write." So if you look at michaelsavage.com and you see a link to the San Francisco newspaper of the gowns, the out-of-town gowns, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It is so playful to see these women. I mean, I would think that a day after these pictures come out, the amount of tranquilizers being prescribed by shrinks across San Francisco is at an all-time high. Here's one, image 35. I won't read the woman's name because I don't know it. Playful dress made by her seamstress during the San Francisco Ballet Gala at City Hall last night. You look at the dress, it looks like she took a tablecloth from an Italian restaurant and dyed it blue and white, stuck a coat hanger in it, and put a dead bird on it. The next one. I can't even mention this one. Let's go to the next one. The guys say that I should look. Nancy Pelosi is in there as well. She has a great sense of couture, I've got to tell you. And you can only see it for yourself, the kind of gown she wore, and the earrings they show off, and bags. And these are all liberals. They're all for the poor, by the way. But they're standing holding clutches that cost $25,000. SM carries a butterfly clutch by Chanel. Probably feed an entire project full of people. You know, dinners for a year. Then you got all of the, well, okay. Here's a guy wearing a pair of slippers. Event designer J. Ricardo Benavides wore loafers that my producer, Robert, said looks like he stole Crown Royal, Secret of Crown Royal bags and put them on his feet. Because that's what it looks like with his tuxedo. I mean, they're really in the real world. Event designer wore Ralph Lauren loafers. The gala celebrated the opening of the company's 83rd season. How out of town can you get? It's a pleasure, though, living in this provincial city. Gina P. carries a vintage Balenciaga handbag. That's her whole claim. I mean, they look at themselves the next day in the local newspaper. They got to get sick. They got to call the psychiatrist. He's doing house calls. The shrinks are doing house calls all over Pacific Heights today, I understand. Dispensing tranquilizers and Prozac at an alarming rate. Why not do it in the road? Right. Well, here we are today. Why not do it in the road? If it feels good, do it. Man, that's the adage. Now we got ISIS in every pot. Potheads in every kitchen. No man is an island, are you sure? They all think they're an island. In Obama's America, every man is an island. Everyone thinks that it's all about them. And nothing will ever touch them. Well, San Bernardino, yes. Boston, yes. But not them. It won't touch them, no. We at the opera? With our handbags and our gowns? No, won't touch us. We're protected. We're the good people. We like immigrants. Yeah, right. Let's go to the callers. I got the best in the business. Peter on WJR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I was born in San Francisco, raised in Mendocino in the hippie time of the 60s, and the time of the cults and the communes and the crazies. Jim Jones was my fifth grade math teacher. And
Wait, am I missing it? Jim Jones was the Jim Jones of Guyana?
Yep, that guy, yeah. He was my fifth grade math teacher in Boonville.
Wait, whoa. In which school was this?
Anderson Valley Elementary School, which is between Boonville and Philo in Anderson Valley.
Did he give out Kool-Aid at that time as well?
No. He seemed like everybody liked him. Everybody thought he was just this wonderful guy, you know.
So you're a former hippie, I understand. Are you still a hippie, a liberal socialist to this day?
No. I was in the thick of it. I was one of the guys that helped put on Woodstock. I had 10 guys working for me there. But I didn't like taking synthetic drugs, so I went to South America to take hallucinogenics with Indians and be with what I...
You took ayahuasca?
I did. I made it up myself in the upper Amazon of Ecuador.
That was a big trek. You know, the Jesus Christ, sorry to use the phrase, the JC of that world was a great scientist from Harvard named Richard Evans Schultes. Have you heard his name?
No, I haven't heard that name.
No, you look up S-C-H-U-L-T-E-S. He was the father of the entire hallucinogenic world, as used by shamans in the Amazon and other places. He knew it from a medical, you know, socio-medical point of view. And I was always intimidated by that stuff. I didn't want to mess with my mind. Truthfully, I avoided psychedelics my whole life.
Delicate. But I went to live with the Indians because I thought of them as being the authentic human beings. I was raised under the philosophy of Rousseau, you know, trying to find the...
And tell me what you found living with the natives.
Well, it found out that they had problems like everybody else.
Right. And they also get rheumatism and arthritis as well, even though they look hardy. They have similar ailments. I mean, all the ailments of us in the West afflict them. It's terribly true.
Yeah. And what happened was I ended up, I took up photography and I photographed minority and tribal people throughout South America and throughout Asia, China, Tibet, Nepal. And what I became more and more conservative every year as I saw leftists really picking on, misusing simple people and trying to align them with causes that were actually foreign to their cultures or their groups.
So today, where are you? A Nazi or where? I'm joking. Where are you politically?
Farm in Ohio, and meaning simple, no electricity.
No, but hold on. Little. Stop talking for a minute. We have to do this on the show. I can't hear you. You can't hear me when there's cell phones used. Where are you politically today on the spectrum?
Politically, I'm to the right, very conservative. I can't think of a better word to use.
Let's not use the word ever again on the show because it was destroyed by the Ted Cruz campaign. You know, once they voted for TPP and they still call him a conservative, it's kind of muddied the waters. I would say you're probably more of a, what, mild nationalist?
Maybe if you use the old British idea of a liberal, which, you know, that word has gotten destroyed.
When they said that I may disagree with you, but I would fight with my life the right for you to say it, that kind of liberal?
Yes, yeah. But I'm going to have to be voting for Donald Trump. There's no way.
There we go again. That's what I'm saying. Maybe you should form a coalition since you're a former organizer called Former Hippies for Trump.
There we go.
You see, I can tell you, just by the fact that you can laugh at a silly little joke means that you're still very, very fluid inside. You're not as stiff as Republicans.
That's for sure.
I'm serious.
I work with natural foods and growing organics and things, and I hang around a crowd a lot that, well, we sometimes lock horns because we don't have the same worldview.
Tell me something. I bought some wheatgrass the other day, actual wheatgrass that's growing, like live wheatgrass, in a container, and I actually bought it in Safeway in San Francisco. And I was, like, munching on it. You know, I've been into, like, alternative medicine health for many years. You may know that if you've read books. I've been publishing books in that area when I was pre-radio. And it's a fascinating world. It's why I'm still living, by the way. And what is this thing? Do you eat wheatgrass? Have you ever eaten it? Do you make it into a drink or a blender? What do? You eat it?
Well, I have not grown that myself. I have drank that, and it doesn't...
I think you're supposed to put it in a blender. I, unfortunately, ate it like a goat. I threw it on my salads. It's very hard to chew. But my energy level's much higher. It's shocking. I don't know whether it's the wheatgrass or something else.
Yeah.
Which city do you live? I'm looking at it. You live in Detroit?
No. I'm out in the countryside. I bought a farm from the Amish, and I raise animals and vegetables. I'm near Ashland, Ohio.
Oh, my God.
Place
amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful country out there. Well, I'm so honored, by the way, that I have such a remarkably versatile audience. I don't want to overuse the word diverse. It's an amazingly versatile audience. It's not because if I say my audience is diverse, it's different than saying it's versatile, because it means that each one is an individual who does different things. And I want to thank you. I'm sending you a gift called Government Zero. What an amazing show today. I just got news from corporate headquarters, by the way. Are you ready for this? You in Texas? Robert? Jim? Doug? Have you heard about how KLIF in Dallas is seeing growth with your show? So I've made the needle move on KLIF. Thank you for listening down there in Dallas and everywhere else. I got some other good callers waiting. This is so much fun for me. And I'm finding out who my audience is, as I've always thought, and it'll help me, by the way, be myself more. It's very hard to be yourself in the media. I got to tell you, if you think it's easy to project what's really on your mind when you're at the same time thinking, well, what does the audience think and what do they want to hear and, you know, where should I go today? And at the end of the day, you do have to do what you do and you have to think the way you think and project it, or else there's no point. They're going to hear right through it if you're faking it. Or if you're too strident, they're going to hear that as well. They're going to know that you're just insecure and you're covering up. That's the thing, is they hear. I mean, we have no other instrument. I have no other instruments. No flashing lights where every second, like on Fox News, breaking news every second. That's called hypnopedia in the old Huxley books, better known as brainwashing or conditioned responses, which I studied as a young psychology student when we learned how to make mice do certain things. Breaking news, flash. And you want to change the channel, but they don't let you because it's like breaking news. Maybe there really is. You know it's not going to be breaking news. But you can't help yourself, so you listen even for another 2 minutes, and you boost their rating. Breaking news! Breaking news! Breaking news! What news? What breaking news? The snow is falling. The earth is spinning. You know, the sardines moved across the bay. The poor birds are still coming off my jetty looking for the sardines that are not here anymore. The school of sardines, according to the fishermen. It gave me such faith yesterday. The fisherman said to me, I said, you gather all these things up in the net, millions of these things. And I said, the birds eat them. Like, I said, how does the species survive? He said, Michael, he didn't know my name. He said, actually, you know, stranger, because we were strangers. He said, we followed the school in through the Golden Gate. It is 1 mile long, a half a mile wide. That's how big the school of fish is. That gave me, it made me feel good that things are good. You know what I'm saying? It's not all horrible. The world's not coming to an end. It's winter. The snow is falling. The snowpack is back in the Sierra. The lakes are filling up again. And Jerry Brown's still passing global warming legislation. I wonder why. I just wonder why they're still talking about global warming and the drought. I love the local paper that says Folsom Lake rose 30 feet in a week. And they show a picture of the drought from last May. They don't even show one picture of the new lake. Unbelievable how this goes on. Here we go. Next caller. WJR again in Detroit. Diane, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. I think we're having an old hippie reunion today.
We are. This is a hippie radio. WHIP radio.
Yeah, I grew up about 15 minutes outside of Washington, D.C., and started politics when I was about 8 years old and campaigned for Steny Hoyer and Hubert Humphrey.
Oh, you did a lot of good for America with him.
Panting ever since. So, hey.
So, what are you today, Diane? What are you today as a liberal?
You're not going to like it, Michael. Can't we just pretend we're sitting on a bench? You've got Teddy there, and we're having a nice talk about the weather.
No,
I'm.
No. Okay. No. I asked for it. Where are you politically?
Yeah, I like Bernie, and I'll tell you why. Because he doesn't take the corporate money. That just means a lot to me. Like I said...
Yeah, but I'm sure Karl Marx didn't take corporate Russian money either. Look, how'd that work out for Russia?
I look at him and I think, he's been in the Congress, he's been a mayor, he's been, you know, in the system, but he's...
Let me help you think your way through this. We're facing down ISIS. Do you think that guy from the gutters of New York is going to lead the military into a fight against ISIS, the greatest threat we faced in this nation since Hitler? That man is going to commandeer the troops and command respect?
Yeah, I do. And you know why I tell you that?
Oh, come on. Now, I could see how you work for Steny Hoyer. You really... So why do you listen to me if I'm opposite to that? How come?
I work in emergency management in Washington, D.C.,
Okay, stop talking because we can't hear each other. Diane, You want to vote for Bernie Sanders, then why do you listen to me on WJR?
Because I think you have a lot of wisdom about so many things, and, you know, I think you're right on lots of things. And I think, you know, if Hillary gets nominated, I'm voting for Trump.
Oh, that's interesting. Because why? Because she's corrupt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's just the worst ever.
This is fascinating. I have heard this from other true liberals, or let's say lifetime left-wing fanatics like you. They've all said to me they won't vote for Hillary because she's absolutely corrupt. They won't touch her. They'd rather vote for Trump. But you didn't say something that you'd expect. You didn't say, if Hillary's the nominee, I'll sit out the election. I didn't hear that. How come you didn't say that?
Because I want an outsider. And the two outsiders are Trump and Bernie. And the thing that when I think about Hillary, I always say to people, I said, she is a corporation masquerading as a human female. And that's how I feel. I mean, I don't even see a humanity in her.
Oof, yeah.
Money and corporations.
So you've come to the hippie reunion today on the Savage Nation, WHIP Radio.
Yes, I have. And I saw the dresses on your webpage, and I
thought, you looked at the out-of-town gowns. Tell me what your reactions were.
I'll swear, I thought it was something retro, and I thought it was like a Goodwill thrift shop fashion show when I first...
Yeah, that's San Francisco's elite, so to speak, in a nutshell. It looks like a Goodwill fashion show. But I don't understand these women. Do they not even understand what they're doing, what they look like, what they're wearing? No. That's how they can put Feinstein, Boxer, Pelosi, over and over again back into the Congress. They don't even know. They're like the seagulls and the birds I talk about. Thousands of them line up to get the sardines along the jetty. And if I walk out of my deck and I move too abruptly, it only takes one bird to get spooked and fly for the entire flock of 1,000 to get spooked and fly away. That's what San Francisco politics looks like to me. They're herd. It's a herd mentality, a bird mentality. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero. Thanks for listening. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Talk about corruption. Look at this story. Google agrees to pay $185 million in UK tax settlements. The average person says, wow, what a fortune. That's peanuts. The UK taxes, which they've been evading forever, according to experts, they're paying these taxes going back to 2005 is what they're paying. Could you believe this? The tech giant Google paid $16 million in UK corp tax from 06 to 11 on $18 million of revenue. Think about $18 billion of revenue. They paid $16 million in UK corporation tax. Do you know what they would have paid here in the United States? Even with deductions? Google, Microsoft, they're all the same. They have 1,000 lawyers, tax lawyers who used to work for the IRS. They use tax strategies known as the double Irish and the Dutch sandwich, first reported by Bloomberg in October of 2010. And we know that Google has avoided billions of dollars of income taxes around the world. And we also know that that's why Obama loves Google, and why Google loves Obama. That's all. That's how it works. One hand washes the other. And you wonder why the people are enraged in this country? You wonder why they are either screaming for Sanders or Trump? You think that they don't want these buccaneers to pay their fair share? Well, that's it for the day. What a day it's been, you cheeseheads and you zucchini heads. Have a good weekend.
We'll be right back.